I approve. I remember him. Okay, we are on section five. Item number nine, board may review, discuss, and take action on legislative bill update. Victoria.
So we have two that were actually signed by the governor. This first one, SB 1053, the formerly called Veterinary Medicine Electronic Means. So that was signed last week, as well as SB 1194, the State Veterinarian, the Certified Rabies Vaccinator. I did want to point out on the telemedicine bill that it changed a little bit. I have it. They did, and Mr. Logan, I don't know if you knew that this, that they did add some language about food animals.
Exempting them? That they're not?
Yeah, the VCPR, it says what a VCPR is notwithstanding any other law and except for an animal that is used in commercial food production that is regulated under Title III, a veterinarian may establish a VCPR through electronic means if you do have these things. But I think early on that language wasn't in there.
It wasn't, okay. No.
Right. And the other thing that was in contention was about how long they could prescribe. For a long time, the bill was 30 days, and it ended up being prescriptions based only on electronic examination may be initially issued for up to 14 days and may be renewed one time for up to 14 days with an additional electronic examination. So that's new language from the last time that I was at committee meeting. And I think the other one changed too since the last time we really looked at it, but it's not anything that impacts our agency. It's all on the state vet to deal with the rabies, certified rabies person. So that's all I have about those.
Madam Chair, I have comments on each. I will keep them brief.
Okay, sounds good.
And I will give this to you, Victoria. The AAVSB has developed model regulations for telemedicine for veterinarians.
I think we have that.
Okay, yes. You have that. Okay, good. And on 1194, it's still unclear about, you know, they're dealing with some of our licensees in there when they talk about a licensed veterinarian. So I think this is, again, a great opportunity for us to hear from the state veterinarian or the director of the Department of Agriculture on how they're going to this is being implemented and what they expect of us from anything, if anything, and what we may expect of them.
The state veterinarian is removed.
Pardon?
State veterinarian is removed.
Is removed?
They don't have anything to do with the billing one. They're not training them.
They're
the ones certifying them,
yeah.
Though, aren't they?
Yes.
Who's certified?
Unless they took it out of
the bill. Well, he may be certified, but the veterinarian is handing the certification.
The veterinarian
to
trains them, yeah.
Yes.
Did I miss that? Am I wrong that they're the ones certifying?
State that, from what I saw, was not.
Unless I was looking
so,
at a...
Somebody's got to be certifying if they're calling it that.
Well, you guys are looking... Well, I think the veterinarian is certifying.
If the state veterinarian's been removed from the bill, then we just need the Department of Agriculture. But it was my understanding in the reading, and it may not be the most current version, that the state veterinarian was approving the training, and...
That was taken out.
So there's no role at all for the state veterinarian in this regarding rabies vaccinators.
Well, the state veterinarian is in charge of a rabies control program statewide.
Right.
But they're not in charge of training these people.
So they don't have anything to do with this bill.
I think they just put together what is considered certification, so they don't have to go to the state vet to get.
Okay, so the state veterinarian shall adopt rules to implement section.
Yeah. Yes.
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 And
so
here's a problem that I don't know that they've seen with this, 3222.40.02. Well, that's in the other bill. 3222.40.02.
Yeah.
So you know, Benelli and Chope aren't as brilliant as they think they are.
But if the state veterinarian is promulgating rules for this, and they affect our licensees or certificate holders, I think an information, well, we need to.
But it doesn't. It only, because that 322240 is only, now again, that one of those two is going to have to change, but that only applies to those certified rabies vaccinators. It does not apply to anybody with a license.
Okay, so a certified rabies vaccinator cannot be a CVT or a veterinarian, is what you're saying?
Because they can already do it.
Right.
Okay.
So it's
already accredited by USDA.
You could potentially go through this.
You don't have to be accredited by USDA to get a rabies vaccine.
For a rabies certificate?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so this is saying that you could go and get certified.
It's a county law.
I know, but if a veterinarian, okay, so he's not promulgating rules for veterinarians or CVTs?
No.
Okay.
So if we go back to the first one, the 1053, and Mr. Harris, tell me if I'm crazy and there's absolutely no way to do this, but I would like to look at that and say that if staff receives a complaint related to 322240024A, B, or C, and that talks about the veterinarian may ultimately recommend an in-person veterinarian visit, prohibited by federal law dispensing blah blah blah. The appointment through electronic means may be terminated any time. If somebody submits a complaint and they're complaining about any of those things, staff should put that straight to the consent agenda to dismiss.
We'll talk about it, and not even have it discussed.
Well, but don't show it to us.
We'll talk about how best to administratively handle those complaints.
Because those two extra people aren't going to be doing the telemedicine stuff. Yeah. They're going to be inspecting, and well, one of them might. But
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, but it's not, because it won't truly be a valid complaint. If they're saying they don't like that the meeting ended, well, the law says the meeting can end. So you're complaining about it, I don't need to listen to it.
Okay.
We can put it on a consent agenda and dismiss it.
We can do that. That makes me think of one more thing to say about these laws, is that even though they were signed by the governor, they are not yet effective. I already have people who thinks that they are.
90 days.
So they will not be effective until the date, and it's usually August or September, when all laws become effective.
So
is it 90 days from they're signed or 90 days when the session ends?
I thought it was from signed.
Maybe.
We don't know when they're going to do that, though, either. And they're going to sign E-Dye.
They got the budget.
I know, but they're recessing again until mid-June.
For what?
Because people have vacation plans, and they're working on some final bills. And then even when they come back, there's just speculation that the governor might leave things somewhat open if she has other things she wants to discuss. So that's what I've heard.
So I had one other bill we don't have on here. That was, what was it, 1333?
I only put the ones that have something.
It didn't pass.
Oh.
But it went, started in the Senate, House did amend it and approved it and sent it back to the Senate, but it was the same week these got signed, it just barely got sent back to the Senate.
There was a chiropractor one.
It wasn't the
chiropractor.
Or
acupuncture
one.
No.
1383, veterinarians and malpractice?
No.
1394, vet board membership?
No.
That's all that's on our tracking list.
No, we got like six of them.
While you're looking for that, can I ask a question on telemed? So, once this goes into effect, I imagine we'll start getting cases that were seen via telemed being presented before the board. Do we need to look at doing any training for board on telemed? Because like I look at things like this that AAVSB put together, that's just your practice act. That doesn't tell you, it just says basically the standards of practice are the same if it's telemed or not. But when you look at the standards of practice, there's things like results of the examination to have to be documented. And if that, if the results of the examination is done in person, right, then I might be looking at this animal for an ear infection, but feel a lump in the mammary glands and document that because it's a result of my examination. And today, if somebody didn't find that and it was obviously there and it comes before the board, we'd say you missed that in your examination. That's a failure in our standard of practice. In telemed, you're not going to be able to do that. At least I don't know how you would do that. So how, so I know that they're saying it stays the same because the standards of practice stays the same, but how could it stay the same? And do we need some level of training? Like I was talking with a doctor that actually runs a telemed program, and she's been doing it for a long time, but she trains on telemed and the use of telemed in veterinary medicine. She actually was doing a training course at Texas A&M when I last talked to her. And I was like, should we look into somebody like that coming before the board or even virtually just to say, like, here are the things that as a board you need to be aware of and how you're interpreting this? Like, I just feel like we're, but before we know it, we're going to have this case and we're all going to be staring at each other and we're all going to be arguing over, I don't know. Like,
so, yes. I think that's addressed in the bill, that part of the informed consent that the veterinarian has to give to the client is that this is not the same as an in-person.
Yes. And they have to consent to that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they can't still come to us though. So,
all bets are off. You didn't want him to find that lump in the mammary gland. You just wanted him to look at what you were showing him in the ear with your camera.
So is that the way we should approach it? In which case,
absolutely,
we're
that's
not gonna look
is.
At any of these things?
That's
or?
The way it is. That's the way the clients want it. That's the way it is.
Prescribe any kind of medication you
want. They're
going
to complain about it.
It's free for all.
They're going to complain about it. That's why the Legislative Budget Committee was totally wrong. There will be a complaint.
I think
we will need two more people just to handle those complaints.
I think it's a little bit of a free for all, but what I think we're not doing is doing our due diligence to understand it better now while we have a few months to figure it out before we start seeing these cases.
Can I just explain it to you?
That doesn't explain it to me. That doesn't help me at all, actually.
But I think one of the things that we can do is put it on the agenda as a standalone, as a future agenda item, and then maybe, you know, think about, you know, who would be perhaps an appropriate person to ask to attend that meeting and provide information as it relates to the new bill.
Okay. And if you would like for me to ask around, like, on the people I know that are working on this in other areas, I'm happy to do so. I just
then you have to recuse yourself.
Well, no, it's informational. I don't know. I just feel like maybe it's just me. I'd rather be more prepared and know what's potentially coming. Mm-hmm. What have they seen in other states? How have other states that have been doing this for a while been dealing with it? Like,
how many board cases did you have when telemedicine was allowed here during the COVID, because I wasn't on the board at that point in time.
I don't know that we've ever had a telemed case, and I've asked my counterpart in Canada, who they do allow more telemed in Canada, not all provinces, but a lot of Canada does allow it. They've not had issues. That doesn't mean we won't have issues.
No, I'm trying to prepare that. Like, if
right.
you guys saw a big slew of cases, then it's like, well, gosh, the urgency for us to learn more and have a better grasp on what to do versus, well, we didn't see any, so is this something?
A lot of veterinarians were afraid to start using it.
Right.
And almost every single one of them to a person recognizes it's not the best way to practice medicine.
Okay, so I feel like we are going to get into the weeds again of what our thoughts are on this, and frankly, it's been signed by the governor. So, but I do think, you know, it like Mark said, we can add it to a future agenda, and then, you know, Jim and I may or may not still be here. So, okay. So, moving on, now we are on section number 6, review and approval of minutes, the April 19th, 2023 regular session. Who wants to take these?
Oh, man, our professional guy isn't here today.
I know, right?
Let me take a stab at it. I move to remove from the consent agenda.
Sorry, first we're gonna just do the, we're just doing the minutes first.
Oh, minutes.
So that's an easy one, yep.
I move to approve the April 19, 2023 regular session minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Second, a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion passes. April 19, 2023 executive session minutes.
I move to approve those minutes of the executive session.
Okay, I second that. All those in favor of approving executive session minutes for April say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion passes. Okay, number three, board may review, discuss, and take action to modify January 18th, 2023, regular session minutes. Item 1B220-107 in regards to Aaron Hissrich, DBM.
Yes.
Ms. Solomon is lead.
Yep. Madam Chair, I would like to make a motion to amend the January 18th, 2023 regular session minutes for item 42-20-107 in regards to Aaron Hissrich, DVM, to note that Ms. Frost was recused from the matter and did not participate in the discussion.
Good catch.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
That was Victoria's catch.
Okay. motion and a second to make those adjustments to modify those minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, motion passes. All right, now on to the consent agenda.
All right, I vote to remove from the consent agenda A1, A4, A5, A6, A7, A8, A9, A10, A11, A12, A13, A14, A15, A16, A17, A18, A19, A20, A21, A22, A23, A24, A25, A26, B2, B8, and B10. Now, couldn't we, since there were no numbers skipped, just say A1 through A25 for six? And be legal? Or did I have to say every one of them?
You did. So we're
still two that are on there, so.
Just to clarify, we're approving the consent agenda, removing those.
We're
not just
removing those. We haven't approved the consent agenda yet.
Well, normally we make that as one motion, so I just was confused.
So, see, I told you.
No, no. Dr. Wright here.
I move to approve the consent agenda with those items removed.
Second. Okay. Motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion passes.
Vote to approve pending inspection of compliance, A4, A6, A8, A9, A10, A13, A19, A20, A21, and A22.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Okay.
Vote to approve pending compliance, A1, A5, A7, A11, A12, A14, A15, A16, A17, A18, A23, A24, A25, A26, B2, and B8.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion passes. Lastly.
We've already removed, so I move to discuss separately B10.
Okay.
Second.
Which is?
Aztec
Animal
Hospital. So that one, we just wanted to bring to your attention. You know, Annalise had inspected that, had some major concerns about this place that we probably just want to go back to.
Right.
It hasn't been inspected since 2014. And when I started looking through things, there was just a lot of an excessive amount of expired and repackaged meds. Like, yes, I see expired meds, but there was just an excessive amount, and some of the repackaged items were controlled substances that were, this doctor uses a 4 Valium syrup that was last made in 2018, and it was just in a bottle. I didn't just sitting in the safe, they don't, there was really nothing documented. There was no controlled substance inventory logs. There was, I believe, no anesthesia log, from what I remember. Maybe there was.
There was not.
No, there was not.
Excuse me, Emily. So they had no controlled substance logs?
Inventory logs.
Inventory logs.
Correct.
Inventory logs. Okay.
They had dispensing logs.
Okay.
However, and the controlled substance needed to be secured. The telazol was in the refrigerator. their, some of their anesthesia consent forms, there was really no informed consent. The person just signed, hey, my pet's going through surgery, but they didn't know what kind of surgery. So that was, I told, like, hey, like, yes, they do sign an estimate, but all that surgery said was anesthesia time. Not necessarily, there was no procedure on the estimate that the client signed, so that, like, couldn't even loosely
right.
work
where,
for that.
Where is this place located?
Scottsdale. Scottsdale, McDowell, and the 101.
Okay. And I'm assuming that the Tylosol in the refrigerator was not in a lockbox, and that was
correct.
A concern.
Okay. Yeah.
Staff
is
looking
to be directed to
reinspect. Please do. Yes, so moved. And I'm glad at least it's somewhat nearby, so we don't have to travel. Okay. Let's see. Now we are to our summary of current events. This is time for the board chair, any member of the board, or the executive director to give a brief summary on current events that affect the board. It is informational only, and no discussion may occur. Does anybody have anything to share? Do you want this meeting to end? Okay, then we've got the call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission. Sorry, should I read that? I'm going to read that when we call our friend, Mr. Johnson. So we have to do it twice.
You read 6023.
Now I got the right number.
Try it one more time.
Just call him, leave him a message. Tell him.
The board's ready to discuss the agenda item for the call to the public.
Okay. Okay. So, hello, Mr. Johnson. We are on the call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board may limit those persons speaking.
Who is this?
This is Jessica. During this time to a reasonable number on any public comment matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given.
I know that.
I know, I'm sorry, Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson, I have to read this for the record. Pursuant to ARS 3843.1.02H, the board may take action on matters listed on the agenda. Action on public comment matters that are not listed on agenda will be limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a later date. You have 3 minutes to speak, Mr. Johnson.
3 minutes is not enough for Jessica. I told you many times, 3 minutes, I cannot open my mouth. Three minutes will be over. I told you nobody is addressing that issue. 3 minutes. Anywhere in the world, 3 minutes, anyone want to speak to the board. So I wanted to tell you, stop this mockery.
Awesome. Thanks.
This is my comment on that. Stop this mockery. And public is very important. You guys are not considering the public as it should be. So why you do this mockery? Answer me. Goodbye.
He said answer me, but he can't. Okay, thank you, Mr. Johnson. We are now at.
Jessica, you are supposed to talk to me.
Section number 10, establishment of future meeting dates. That next regular meeting will be held on Wednesday, June 21st, 2023, beginning at 8:30 a.m. at 1740 West Adams Street, Boardroom B. One or more members may appear telephonically. All right, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. All right, thanks, folks. Remember, next month is going to be a long one, so I hope.